returned the young man, with another bow, "is one of mockery."
"Mockery?" replied Florizel. "And whom do you propose to mock?"
"I am not here to expound my philosophy," replied the other, "but to distribute these creamed hearts. If I mention that I heartily include myself in the ridicule of the transaction, I hope you will consider honor satisfied and condescend. If not, you will constrain me to eat my 28th, and I own to being weary of the exercise."
"You touch me," said the prince, "and I have all the will in the world to rescue you from this dilemma, but upon one condition. If my friend and I eat your cakes, for which we have neither of us any natural inclination, we shall expect you to join us at supper by way of recompense."
The young man seemed to reflect. "I have still several dozen upon hand," he said at last, "and that will make it necessary for me to visit several more bars before my great affair is concluded. This will take some time, and if you are hungry—"
The prince interrupted him with a polite gesture. "My friend and I will accompany you," he said, "for we have already a deep interest in your very agreeable mode of passing an evening. And now that the preliminaries of peace are settled, allow me to sign the treaty for both." And the prince swallowed the tart with the best grace imaginable. "It is delicious," said he.
"I perceive you are a connoisseur," replied the young man.
Colonel Geraldine likewise did honor to the pastry, and everyone in that bar having now either accepted or refused his delicacies, the young man with the creamed hearts led the way to another and similar establishment. The two commissionaires, who seemed to have grown accustomed to their absurd employment, followed immediately after, and the prince and the colonel brought up the rear, arm in arm, and smiling to each other as they went. In this order, the company visited other taverns, where scenes were enacted of a like nature to that already described, some refusing, some accepting the favors of this vagabond hospitality, and the young man himself eating each rejected tart. On leaving the third saloon, the young man counted his store. There were but 9 remaining, 3 in one tray and 6 in the other.
"Gentlemen," said he, addressing himself to his 2 new followers, "I am unwilling to delay your supper. I am positively sure you must be hungry. I feel that I owe you a special consideration. And, on this great day for me, when I am closing a career of folly by my most conspicuously silly action, I wish to behave handsomely to all who give me countenance. Gentlemen, you shall wait no longer. Although my constitution is shattered by previous excesses, at the risk of my life I liquidate the suspensory condition."
With these words he crushed the 9 remaining tarts into his mouth and swallowed them at a single movement each. Then, turning to the commissionaires, he gave them a couple of sovereigns.
"I have to thank you," said he, "for your extraordinary patience."
And he dismissed them with a bow apiece.
For some seconds he stood looking at the purse from which he had just paid his assistants. Then, with a laugh, he tossed it into the middle of the street and signified his readiness for supper. In a small French restaurant in Soho, which had enjoyed an exaggerated reputation for some little while, but had already begun to be forgotten, and in a private room, up 2 pairs of stairs, the 3 companions made a very elegant supper, and drank 3 or 4 bottles of champagne, talking the while upon indifferent subjects. The young man was fluent and gay, but he laughed louder than was natural in a person of polite breeding. His hands trembled violently, and his voice took sudden and surprising inflections, which seemed to be independent of his will. The dessert had been cleared away, and all 3 had lighted their cigars, when the prince addressed him in these words.
"You will, I am sure, pardon my curiosity. What I have seen of you has greatly pleased, but even more puzzled me. And though I should be loath to seem indiscreet, I must tell you that my friend and I are persons very well worthy to be entrusted with the secret. We have many of our own, which we are continually revealing to improper ears. And if, as I suppose, your story is a silly one, you need have no delicacy with us, who are 2 of the silliest men in England.
My name is Godall, Theophilus Godall. My friend is Major Alfred Hammersmith, or at least, such is the name by which he chooses to be known.
We pass our lives entirely in the search for extravagant adventures, and there is no extravagance with which we are not capable of sympathy.